Welcome to Kingston Reid's Word to the Wise podcast series for HR and safety professionals.
Hello, I'm Miriam Power.
And I'm Oliver Marshall. On today's podcast, Miriam and I will be discussing the new safety laws in Western Australia.
So, Ollie, there are big changes on the way for WA in the safety space then.
Yes, that's right, Miriam. New laws are on track that will pretty much replace the existing legal framework for health and safety in WA.
And these new laws are based on the uniform national law currently in place in other jurisdictions, aren't they?
Correct. Some other states have had these model laws in place for years, but here in WA, we always like to run our own race and to do things a little differently. So we have been a little bit slower on the take-up. The new Workplace Health and Safety Act, or WHS Act, is based on the national model WHS Act with specific modifications for Western Australia. It also includes amendments to the Model National WHS Act based on the recommendations made by reviews of the WHS laws in those other jurisdictions.
So, Ollie, currently, Western Australia's health and safety laws are underpinned by the Occupational Safety and Health Act and its regulations, and similar health and safety laws for the mining industry exist in the Mine Safety Inspection Act. These laws are said to have served Western Australia well in the decades since they were first introduced, but they are just a bit outdated now.
So out with the old and in with the new then?
Precisely. The new Act will repeal the Occupational Safety and Health Act and substantially amends the Mine Safety and Inspection Act to provide the primary legislation for workplace health and safety across all West Australian industries.
And the new law will be supported by a number of industry-specific regulations to suit the state's unique conditions. This will enable the resources sector to continue using a risk-based approach and continue to support the safety case approach for the petroleum and major hazard facilities.
So, Ollie, what are some of the new concepts and features of the Act?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Miriam. Some of the key features include introducing the concept of a person conducting a business or undertaking, or PCBU, replacing the traditional employee-employer relationship with that of a PCBU and worker, a primary duty of care requiring PCBUs to, so far as reasonably practicable, ensure the health and safety of workers and others who may be affected by the carrying out of work, duties of care for persons who influence the way work is carried out, including WHS service providers, as well as the integrity of products used for work. And finally, and quite notably, a requirement that officers exercise due diligence to ensure compliance.
So can we talk more about these new PCBU and worker concepts? These have actually been around in health and safety speak for a while now, haven't they?
In other jurisdictions, yes, but not previously in Western Australia.
And how is this different to the existing obligations on employers in WA?
Well, the broad concept of a PCBU was introduced to cover more modern working arrangements. It's designed to move away from the emphasis on the employment relationship as the determiner of the primary duty to provide greater health and safety protection for all persons involved in or affected by work activity.
So, under the definition, a PCBU can be viewed as the organising entity that has control over all types of workers, is that right?
Yes. And the term PCBU would still capture an employer as a person conducting a business or undertaking. But it is a broader concept than simply an employer.
So how broad are we talking?
Well, the idea of person can include individual persons and corporations, and conducting a business or undertaking is broad enough to cover employers, principal contractors, subcontractors, franchisors, and even the government.
And I suppose the inclusion of the concept of worker would similarly expand the scope of the WHS laws beyond the narrower group of employees. I note that worker is defined to mean a person who carries out work for a PCBU, including an employee, a contractor, subcontractor, employee of a contractor or subcontractor, work experience students, apprentices, trainees, and labour hire personnel.
That's right. So Miriam, what do you see as the main effects of broadening the application of health and safety laws in WA?
Well, I think most significantly, it essentially expands the health and safety duties to workplace participants who would not previously have been covered. It's casting a much wider net to capture people who properly have control over workplaces and to people who ought to be protected by workplace health and safety laws.
Okay, so under the new Act, there are the duties which are referred to as the primary, secondary and other duties. These new duties appear different to the old duties under our current laws, of which there are three, applying to employers, employees and self-employed people.
That's right. So the new duties build on these existing duties and place some additional duties on new parties in the workplace.
So the general duty on employers now becomes the primary duty of care of a PCBU to ensure, so far as reasonably practicable, the health and safety of, firstly, workers directly engaged by the PCBU and workers whose activities are influenced or controlled by the PCBU while at work.
So now you can see how those defined terms of worker and PCBU expand the application of this primary general duty.
Miriam, I noticed this idea of doing things or taking steps as far as reasonably practicable. What does this mean?
Well, basically, it means take all measures that can be done in the circumstances, but the new law sets a legal standard for reasonably practicable. The new law expressly establishes a two-step consideration. Firstly, it requires a person to take into account and weigh up all relevant matters, and these could include things like the likelihood of the relevant hazard or risk occurring, the degree of harm that might result, what the person knows or ought reasonably to know about the hazard or risk and the ways of eliminating or minimising the risk, and the availability and suitability of ways to eliminate or minimise the risk.
And what's the second step?
Well, after taking into account these matters, only then can the person consider the cost associated with available ways of eliminating or minimising the risk, including whether the cost is grossly disproportionate to the risk.
Well, that provides some guidance. So Miriam, in addition to these measures, the Act will also introduce a new duty of care for officers of a PCBU.
Yes, I've noted that. What will this mean for officers?
Well, for the purposes of the Act, an officer will include senior staff in a business and includes a person who makes or participates in making decisions that affect the whole or a substantial part of the business. The Act will introduce a positive obligation on officers to exercise due diligence to ensure their PCBUs comply with its duties under the Act.
So this due diligence duty represents a significant change to the current law. Currently, an officer can only be held liable for an offence that occurs with their consent, connivance or neglect.
Yes, and the Act actually sets out a list of steps prescribing what is meant by due diligence.
So, Wally, will these steps make it clear what an officer needs to do to discharge their duty?
Well, yes and no. While the list sets out what is considered due diligence, it's not an exhaustive list, and it is likely that the concept of due diligence will depend on the individual circumstances of the business. Ultimately, this due diligence duty will require officers to take an active role in health and safety matters and to take steps to ensure compliance by the PCBU with its duties under the Act.
So, with all these new duties, there must be new penalties included in the Act, is that right?
Yeah, that's a good point, Miriam. The highest penalties under the Act is for the offence of industrial manslaughter. Under that offence, individuals, which includes officers of PCBUs, are liable for a fine of $5 million and imprisonment for 20 years. Corporations are liable for a fine of $10 million.
Wow, that's a significant penalty.
Yes, well, the offence does set out a pretty significant threshold for the prosecution to prove. One of the elements of the offence is that the conduct causing the death is engaged in knowing that it is likely to cause the death of or serious harm to an individual, and the conduct is engaged in disregard to that likelihood.
I also note that the offence structure under the Act removes the differentiation between the first and subsequent offences that we have under the existing laws.
Yeah, that's right. This means that offenders are now liable for the maximum penalty under the law, even for a first offence, although the courts are unlikely to apply the maximum penalty, except in the most egregious cases.
Well, it's quite an important consideration, particularly in light of WA's most recent work health and safety prosecution.
What happened there, Miriam?
Well, in WA's first prosecution of a Level 4 offence, an employer with an unfortunate safety record was ordered to pay $564,000 in costs and fines. the Magistrates Court found Resource Recovery Solutions guilty of failing its general duty as an employer in circumstances of gross negligence. In addition to the significant penalty, the employer was also fined $20,000 for failing to comply with an improvement notice and ordered to pay $234,000 in costs.
Wow. So under the current OSH and MSI Act, a level 4 conviction is the highest level offence, but under the new Act, it will be treated as a Category 1 offence.
Yes, exactly. And with the new maximum penalty, if this case was prosecuted under the new laws, it is very likely that the company would have received a much higher penalty.
How much higher are we talking?
Well, for a corporation, the equivalent level of offence would see an increase of some 135% compared to the existing maximum penalty.
So applying that increase to this most recent case, a $560,000 fine would translate to a $760,000 fine, which is an increase of $200,000. Still, a $560,000 fine is not pocket change. What happened in the Resource Recovery Solutions case?
Well, Ollie, it was pretty bad. The worker had his arm amputated by machinery. His role involved manually removing items from conveyor belts and clearing jams on various machines at the employer's facility. The worker was clearing a rock after a blockage when his arm was unfortunately dragged into a pinch point.
Oof, that's pretty grim. What did the magistrate find?
Well, the magistrate found that there was no guarding around the conveyor belt's crush points and significantly no lockout tagout procedure for isolating moving parts when clearing the blockages. And because of this, it was found that Resource Recovery Solutions demonstrated a blatant disregard for safety and acted in disregard of the likelihood of a person being killed or seriously harmed. In addition, the employer had a history of breaching workplace safety laws demonstrated by finding that it had breached an improvement notice.
Well, on a less gruesome note, there are some other notable features of the Act. One part, which has attracted a significant amount of attention and commentary, are the provisions regarding insurance against liability for fines under the Act.
That's quite unusual. What does this mean for WA?
Well, there are two main features of these provisions. Firstly, the new provisions provide that an insurance policy is of no effect to the extent that it would indemnify a person for their liability to pay a fine for an offence under the Act.
So what happens to all of those insurance policies providing for protection against fines for breaches of health and safety laws?
Well, under the new Act, they would be deemed to be invalid.
Okay. Will there be a need for the courts to get involved in making that finding?
No. On the current drafting, the provisions operate to automatically invalidate those policies. And that's not all. The new Act does also provide that it's an offence to enter into an insurance policy that purports to indemnify or even agree to be indemnified for liability for fines under the Act.
Well, that represents a significant change in the law. It looks like it's intended to incentivise people to take their work health and safety obligations pretty seriously. When can we expect these new laws to take effect, Ollie?
Well, the Act has just received royal assent, but most of the provisions, including duties and the new offences that we've discussed today, will not come into effect until mid-2021 or possibly after.
Why will it take that long?
Well, this is because the supporting industry-specific regulations remain to be drafted. The West Australian Government has provided that it will not allow the Act to commence operation until these regulations are in place, and in addition, the departmental systems are set up.
Well, I guess this then will allow businesses in WA time to ensure that they are ready to meet their obligations under the new laws.
100%. And that is why Kingston Reid will be providing briefing sessions on the new laws and the new health and safety obligations for businesses.
That's right, Ollie. We're starting to roll out these briefing sessions now. So listeners, if you consider your business would benefit from these sessions, please get in contact with us. These sessions provide a comprehensive overview of the new laws. They can be tailored to suit the audience, whether it's your supervisors, management or board level, so that all of your people understand their new obligations and are aware of the increased penalties for non-compliance.
And in the meantime, stay safe and keep your workplaces safe.